No one can see Father with the physical eyes, but we can see God with the spiritual eyes. If you remember, when they stoning to Stephen to death, he looked at heaven and he says, I see heaven open, and I see the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God. That means you can see God with your spirit, because spirit understands the spirit. If you don't have the spirit of God or spirit of Christ, you're not going to understand God. That's the reason Jesus Christ came into this world, to show us who God is. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no man hath seen God any time, but who was in the bosom of the Father? That was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, he came from heaven and he declared us, he showed us who God the Father is. And then the disciple starts saying, show us the Father. What did he say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Our God lives in heaven. When we hear that Jesus Christ came into this world and they say his name is what? Emmanuel. Means God with us. And many people start thinking, if the God came from heaven and dwelt among us, then who was in heaven when God came? Thank God, our God is triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When God the Father stayed in heaven, God the Son came down for mankind. So our God is a triune God. Many people do not know about the real God. Now we have to tell the people where the God is. Our God doesn't commit sin. Our God doesn't lie. Our God is a holy God, and he lives in heaven. You cannot see him with your own eyes. And so we want to tell the people our God is in heaven. Now about heaven, there are so many people have so many ideas about heaven. There are all kinds of people have all kinds of teaching about heaven. But I'm not going to go into details and teaching all other people what they talk about heaven. And there are some people, Christian people today, you will be listening to different kinds of televisions and different kinds of Christian groups. People are coming and saying they went to hell, they went to heaven, and they describe the heaven, what they thought the heaven is. But you cannot take their example and just believe what they say about heaven. I can guarantee you, those people actually did not go to heaven. They went to heaven in their mind. They did not actually go to heaven. Heaven is a holy place. Not only that, you cannot go to heaven right now. No one can go to heaven right now. Only one person went to heaven, that's a Saint Paul. But he was not so courageous to tell you that he really, really went to heaven. He says, I don't know in my body, or I don't know out of my body. I went to place, and I saw the certain things, and I heard the certain things, but I am not capable to even describe you or tell you what I have seen. And the Saint Paul was the holy man of God. If he cannot explain heaven, if he cannot tell you detail about heaven with his talk, then all other people who are telling you about heavens, I cannot just listen to their story and imagine what kind of heaven is. There are some people are thinking, I don't want to go to heaven. Why? Because they think heaven is boring. All the time praising and praising and praising and thanking God. I don't want that kind of heaven. What kind of place they want? I want basketball in heaven. I want baseball in heaven. I want some kind of wrestling and all kinds of games should be in heaven. Otherwise, it will be boring. And so all kinds of people have all kinds of desire. My dogs and my cats should be with me in heaven. Even this, they go and talk to some pastor or some ministers. One girl was crying and she's saying, my dog died and what will happen? Can I see my dog in heaven? I'm not giving the name of the ministers, but the one of the greatest evangelists told that girl, oh, don't worry, honey. You will see your dog in heaven. So the girl said, oh, I'm so happy. And then some person took that and start putting in his book, such and such a person says, there is a dog in heaven, so our dogs will go to heaven. And so each and every person, they want some kind of satisfaction. They want the heaven, what they want to do in heaven. And so, but today we are going to learn, is there heaven and is there God and where God lives? And if God lives in heaven, then we want to go to God. Because there are so many wrong teaching coming into this world. There is a one man, he started the radio ministry. He has so many television programs. And he predicted the end of the world several times. And now he is saying, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are not going to go to heaven and you are not even going to go to hell. You will just, your spirit will vanish away. If that kind of teaching somebody gives, they will say, hey, let me kill some people. Let me rob banks and do whatever I want. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to vanish away in the thin air. So all kinds of teaching people are giving and people are confused. But I am not planning to just go in thin air. I want to go to my Father who is in heaven. And so now there are people teaching, you don't want to go to heaven? Okay, what we'll do, we will bring heaven on earth. Because Jesus Christ taught us to pray, thy kingdom come on earth, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means we are going to live on this earth forever. That is not the plan of God. If that was the plan of God, then the Jesus Christ will not be saying when he was going to heaven, what did he say? Your heart should not be troubled. Please read. St. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
If Jesus Christ says, I am the truth, and he is saying, I am the truth, then whatever he says here, that has to be true. He says, I'm going to go to my Father. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Not the huts, mansions. And then he says, but still, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Who he is talking to? He's talking to his disciples who gave up their houses, their land, their property, and everything and followed Jesus Christ. One time Peter says, we left everything and followed you. What we are going to get? What Jesus said? You are going to get 100-fold in return. Whatever you left for me, I'll give you 100%. If you give up one house, I'll give 100 houses. So that's the promise. But at the same time, he said, you will get eternal life in heaven. And so Jesus Christ told his disciples, I'm going to go to heaven. In my Father's house, there are already mansions. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, somebody would say, there are already mansions. Why he's going to prepare a place? He did not say, I'm going to take one of the mansions and decorate, and then I'll take you there. No. There are so many mansions. So there are so many different kinds of people will be living in different mansions. That is not my subject today. But he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And we know what kind of place he's preparing. When you go to the Revelation chapter 21, we see there what kind of a building he's making. And when he's preparing that building, he named that building a name. He says, that is the bride of Christ. And one man came to me and he said, Pastor Peter, you were teaching we are the bride of Christ. But I was reading in the book of Revelation, we are not the bride of Christ. I said, what happened? I saw there is a building, and that building is a bride of Christ, so we are not. I said, you got confused. That building has a name, Bride of Christ. Why? Because the bride is going to live in that building. So we are going to live in that building. And that building, you have to read the 21st chapter in Revelation. But the point I'm making, Jesus Christ is still preparing that building for us. If the building is finished, he will come, right? He said, when I prepare a place for you, then I will come back. So when you read about that building, even the John saw, just like in vision, that building was maybe not prepared yet, because he just saw in a vision, because he was lifted up to heaven. Now many people are saying, John saw this heaven coming down on earth, so we are going to live on earth. But here we see that John was lifted up in the spirit and he went to the highest mountain in heaven. And there he saw the vision. So the point I'm making that the Jerusalem or New Jerusalem was not coming down on this earth, but it was in heaven and it will stay in heaven, because heaven is not a small place. Heaven is a huge place. When you read in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the word of God says, God created what? Heavens and earths. Here it says heaven and earth. But God created heavens and the earth, or the different worlds. Okay, go ahead.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Okay, in the beginning. Now somebody says, in the beginning, they think beginning of this earth was created. That is the beginning. That is not the beginning. The word of God says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. So when God created all the heavens and earth, we don't know when he did it, how many years old this earth is. They have their own measuring stick. They can cut the tree and see the signs on the tree, and they say how many years old this tree is. So they can find out the age. But some of the people are giving you age of this world, means this earth I'm talking about, billions and millions and trillions of years. I'm not going to argue with them. Only I know when God created man, when the man committed sin, and that's the time they start counting Adam's age. And now we know how old this sinful world is. According to our Bibles, there are three heavens. God lives in a third heaven. Now, which is the first heaven? First heaven is this, just the atmosphere. The second heaven is where the sun, moon, stars, and all other things, and even the demonic forces, they live. But the word of God is saying, God lives in highest heaven. That is called the third heaven. Let's read the Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 15. I will give you few verses where the God lives. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15.
Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us as thou swearest unto our fathers.
Now here is saying thy holy habitation. And he says, look down from heaven. So he says, you are living in heaven, and your dwelling place is in heaven. And so the God lives in heaven, and he sees from heaven. Can you see how far you can see with the telescope or some different machines? You can go and see the stars, and they are seeing now from Earth. And now some of the people took some machinery to put it on some of the space stations, and they are watching the movements of the stars and the Earth and everything. But not a single person yet saw God in heaven with their machines yet. The one cosmonaut, when he was in the moon, he says, I am up here, but I don't see God here. So what his point was, there is no God. But there is another American astronaut says, I am in the moon, and I feel so close to God. And when he came down, he became a missionary, and they called him Moon Missionary. So the point I'm making, there are two different kinds of people. Some people, even that they don't want to see God, they don't want to see heaven, they don't want to talk about heaven. But our God lives in heaven, because godly people, they know what Jesus Christ is saying, and what Jesus Christ said is true. So here they are saying, you are a holy God, and your habitation is holy, means your dwelling place is holy, and you watch over us. What the Word of God says, our God never sleeps, never slumbers. He always watching, looking after you from heaven. How good the eyesight God has, can you imagine? You cannot see for short distance, but God sees from heaven, and he knows everything. The Word of God says in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, our God is spirit. So when the God is spirit, you cannot keep God in certain place. Even though he lives in heaven, he can see everything from heaven, and he can control everything from heaven. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13.
Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
Where is God? He says, he is raised up. He is in his holy dwelling. That means he says, God, now he can talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went up to heaven. But our Father is in heaven all the time. Read the 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30. 39 and 49.
And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive.
Now what is trying to say? Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. A few minutes ago we learned he sees from heaven. And now he says you can hear from heaven. That's what we have to tell people. Our God lives in heaven, but when you pray on earth, he hears in heaven. People on earth, we have all kinds of problems, but our God, he says in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, he says, our God is not deaf, and his hand is not short. Can you imagine? Our God can reach from heaven to earth. He can see from heaven. He can hear from heaven what's happening on earth. So our God is a great God. And he says, our God is a holy God. Read verse 39 and 49.
Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men.
See, again he says, then hear thou in heaven, the heaven is your dwelling place. And so our God can hear our prayers. He can forgive us. He can cleanse us. He can do anything from heaven. God doesn't have to come running to earth. He is a great God, and he can do everything from heaven. Verse 49.
Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause.
Heaven is your dwelling place. So we should know our God lives in heaven, and he hears our prayers, he forgives us from heaven, and he does everything from heaven. He is dwelling in heavenly place, and his throne is settled in heaven. Okay, let's read Psalm 11, verse 4.
The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men.
Now, here Psalmist says, our Lord lives in heaven. And where he lives, he says, he lives in his holy temple. And now many people have problems when you're reading in a book of Revelation. When you come to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in the end of the chapter, it says, there was no temple. God lives, the Lord, when you say Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ also. So he says, Lord lives in his holy temple, and his throne is in heaven. So now, where does he live? Does he have the throne in the temple? Where does he live? So, here is it. When you study the book of Revelation, God says there is a temple. And he says, I told the Moses, make the tabernacle according to the pattern of heaven. So he says, heaven, there is a temple. Then Jesus Christ says he took his blood and entered into the most holy place, that is a temple. So there is a temple. So the temple is a worship place. And then there is another place in heaven, is called New Jerusalem. That will be the headquarter of the kingdom. So his throne will be in a Jerusalem. Sits on his throne, but he can go to the temple, and people will be going and worshiping God in the temple. Most of the time, if you see, when you study the book of Revelation, all these Old Testament people, they always camping near the tabernacle, all around the tabernacle. And so in the heaven, when they go, they will be surrounding the tabernacle. And the word of God says they will worship the Lord in the temple. And so there are people worshiping the temple, and there are some people will be sitting at the throne at the right hand of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am sitting at the right hand of my Father. And then he says, you overcomers, you will be sitting at my right hand. And so there are thrones, not one throne, there are many thrones. But God sits on throne. His son sits beside him, and then we will be sitting beside Jesus Christ. And so there is a heaven, there is a temple in heaven, and there is a throne in heaven. So he says our God's throne is in heaven. Now read Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1. Here God is talking. So not only Sam is saying, God is saying himself.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?
Now, what God is trying to say? He says, the Lord says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So, he says, what kind of temple you are going to build for me? God does not live in the handmade temple. Can you see on earth there are temples, there are churches, stained glass churches, they might spend a billions of dollars to make a one church or one temple. And sometimes you go to that temple, God is not even that temple. Why? Because they are so proud about their church. Not the what they're teaching in the church, but the beauty of the church. Some of those churches are stained glass and beautiful churches. You go there, they preach 10 minutes to 15 minutes. The Word of God says God does not live in handmade temple. Jesus has to be inside of your heart. Your heart has to change. So our God does not live in handmade temple. So where does He live? He lives in our heart. So we invite Him come to our heart. And this is the real temple of God. And so here He says, God does not live in the handmade temple. And if you read book of Acts chapter 7, verse 49, same verse is repeated in a book of Acts.
Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?
Where God wants to rest? In your spirit. God does not live in handmade temple. So He says, where is God's throne? Is in heaven. So God lives in heaven. And how do you know? Because Jesus Christ came from heaven and He told us everything about heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne.
Now who is talking? This is Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't swear by throne or God or things like that, or heaven. He says, heaven is the God's throne. God is sitting in heaven. Jesus Christ is saying it. All other people, all the Old Testament saints, even the New Testament disciples said it. But when Jesus says, I believe, because Jesus Christ is not a liar. He says, I am the truth. When Jesus says something, I believe it. When Jesus says, God's throne is in heaven, I believe it. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and please read. Matthew 6, 9.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
He says, our Father which is in heaven, our God is a holy God, and our God lives in heaven. So you can pray to God from earth, our God is in heaven. So Jesus Christ says many, many times. I just wanted to read a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 and 14. This is all Jesus saying. Go ahead.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Now, Father which is in heaven. Verse 14.
Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
See, Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33.
Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven.
My Father which is in heaven. 33.
But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50.
For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
See, Father which is in heaven. So I give you more than one scripture. So Jesus Christ says, my Father lives in heaven. So that's more than enough for me to know that Father lives in heaven. And Jesus Christ says, I came from heaven and I'm going to go to heaven. Read in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 19.
So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Now see, here the Jesus Christ was going to heaven, and Paul says more than 500 people witnessed he was going to heaven. And Mark writes, they saw Jesus Christ going, and he says, Jesus Christ sat on the right hand of God in heaven. How does he know? Did he see it with his eyes? No. Then how do you know? I said a few minutes ago, when they were stoning to Stephen to death, he said, I saw heaven open, and I see God the Father and God the Son. And so, Holy Spirit revealed them where Jesus went. He said, Jesus went to heaven, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Not only that, if you are born again, child of God, the day you get saved, you are lifted up unto heaven, and you are sitting at the right hand of Jesus. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
You are lifted up into heavenly places, and you sit at the right hand of Jesus Christ. Somebody says, but I don't feel it. You won't feel it if you're living in sin. If you are born again, child of God, if you are baptized according to the word of God, if you fill with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue, and if you pray in the Spirit in unknown tongue, I will tell you, you will feel like you are in heaven. You will be lifted up in your spirit, and you can feel the presence of God. And so this word is not lying. It's an experience. And so the point I'm making, when you really fill with the Holy Spirit and one in the Spirit and pray, you will feel that you're lifted in the presence of God, and you shut out from the world, you would not know what's happening surrounding you. And there was a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh in India. He got so much experience with Jesus. He could see Jesus Christ sitting in front of him, and he would give the chair and talk to him. And he wrote a book. Whatever the question he had, he asked Jesus, and Jesus Christ answered him everything, and he wrote a book. The point I'm making, Jesus Christ went to heaven, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. And then the people will say, and then Jesus Christ is not in earth anymore. No, he said, I will come back in the spirit form. You will know and you will see me. And so the Jesus Christ came in the spirit, and we read and we studied a couple of weeks ago what he says in book of Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, if someone doesn't have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you are born again, child of God, Christ comes to dwell in you. He brings Father with him, and then we have the Father and the Son. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God lives in you. You will be never be the same. So our God lives in heaven, but in spirit, he lives in us. So this is very, very exciting things for Christians to know. Our God is not far away in heaven. Once you know him, he is too close to you. He is living in you. And so I'll give you a couple of verses. Our God and Christ together, they are in heaven right now. Book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1.
Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Now what he's trying to say, where this Jesus Christ is sitting, he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So that means Jesus Christ is went to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven on his throne. So the word of God is saying God the Father is in heaven, and now God the Son also is in heaven. Read the Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. They said God and only God they want to worship. Our Bible teaches God the Father and God the Son, they are in heaven and they are sitting together on the throne. You cannot separate the Father and Son. If you want to have Father, you have to have Son. If you don't have Son, you cannot receive the Father. Son is the only one came to introduce us a Father. We are going to learn more about heaven. There was an angel called Lucifer. He was praising God and glorifying God, and he got a lot of beauty and a lot of glory. He got a pride in his heart, and he wanted to fight against God. Can you imagine? That's what the people are doing. We are created beings, and we are going to fight. I'm going to fight with God. You cannot do because you are a created beings. You don't know who God is, and they curse God, and they say bad about God, and they are angry at God. They don't know where God is. But God is patiently waiting. And once they come to Jesus, they say, I'm sorry, Lord. I said something which I didn't know what I was saying. And then they confess their sins. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a loving God. That's why he sent his son. So what happened when this Lucifer rebelled against God? Book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, and start reading from 13.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee.
Okay, now here we see this angel was so precious. I don't have time to explain everything. But when he rebelled against God, God threw him out of heaven. But Jesus Christ, when his disciples went and did signs and wonders and miracles, and they came back and say, oh, you know what? The demons are subject to us. They listen to us when we use the name of Jesus. What Jesus said. Go to the Luke chapter 10. Start reading from verse 17.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
So what Jesus Christ is saying, you are casting the devil in my name, but he says, I have seen the devil falling from heaven like what? Like lightning speed. That's the way the devil came into this world. But now, when you use the name of Jesus, devils runs.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
See, all the demonic forces, the snake, the scorpion, and all these vicious things. But he says, don't worry. I will give you power over the demonic forces, and they will not hurt you. Book of Mark chapter 16, if you read, it says, even though somebody gives you deadly poisonous things, it will not harm you. That much power Jesus Christ has given to us. And Jesus said, do you know why I came into this world? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
See, the devil starts sinning in heaven. Heaven is a holy place. So that's why God threw him out from heaven. Now he came to earth and tried to mesmerize people, lying and cheating and taking them to hell with him. Jesus Christ says, I came here to destroy the works of the devil. And he destroyed the devil on the cross. And he has given us the same power to the believers. Since you belong to Jesus Christ, he gives you supernatural power to overcome the devil. St. John chapter 14, we were reading, Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven, prepare a place for you, but I'm not going to keep you like a homeless or fatherless. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he says, you will be doing the same thing what I did, and you do greater things. John 14, 12. Please read. I'm going to finish here.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So he said, I'm going to go to my Father, but I'm going to give the same power or greater power. We are here to what? To destroy the works of the devil. Not to do the works of the devil, but destroy it. And so we are on earth for a temporary time. We are going to go to heaven, but we are here not powerless. He has given us the power. Our Father lives in heaven. Jesus Christ lives in heaven. And we should be craving to go to heaven. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. The world and world's desires are pulling people to hell. But you came to rescue us. You came to set us free or redeem us from the curse of the law. Thank you, Jesus, that your power and your grace you have given to us. And you have taught us the Father is in heaven. And you are in heaven, and pretty soon you are coming for your bride. Give us grace to prepare ourselves as well as prepare others for your soon coming. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.